Welcome back to The Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. Starring Donald Gleason, Christina Applegate, and Thomas Hayden Church, the new dark comedy Crash Pad focuses on a love triangle and the extreme lengths people will go to get what they think they want.
Grady, what are you doing here?
I live here now, woman. We bonded over the mutual hatred of you.
Morgan, I don't hate you, per se.
Can you just shut up?
All right.
Please.
Should I stop
you
talking
talk
right now, okay?
Stop.
The movie is screening as part of the Woodstock Film Festival at the Woodstock Playhouse on October 13th at 6:45 p.m. Director Kevin Tent will take part in a Q&A afterward. Tent, an Oscar-nominated film editor, has also had a long working relationship with director Alexander Payne, working on films like Election, Sideways, The Descendants, and the forthcoming Downsizing. Kevin Tent, welcome to The Roundtable.
Thanks for having me, Ian.
So how did you get involved in this picture?
I had been looking for something to direct, and I had read a lot of scripts, and this one came my way, and it was written by Jeremy Catalino, and I immediately thought it was funny and original, and the dialogue cracked me up, and I thought, well, how about this one? So I kind of focused in on trying to make that happen.
You'd worked a lot as a film editor. What are
Yes.
the differences between editing a film and then directing an entire set?
It's a big leap in a lot of ways. I mean, obviously, working as an editor, you have a skill set and you have knowledge of what you think you need and everything like that. But when you're actually on the set and you're actually trying to get the footage, it's actually a whole set of different skills are required, and not ones that you think you naturally have. I don't know if that made any sense, but it was a challenge. It's a challenge to actually be on the set and directing. Things happening so fast, so quick, and you know, there's constantly things going wrong, and you know, constantly props aren't there, and this isn't happening, and it's pretty wild. It's pretty wild. Editing rooms are kind of quiet. Well, they can be quiet, and I don't want to make it sound like it's always easy in there. It's not, but it's you have a little more time to sort of analyze things and look at them over and over again and choose and try and experiment. And on the set, things just happen very quickly.
I read that you kind of got your start with Roger Corman, who has
Yes.
a really extensive Hollywood coaching tree, if you look at the people who began that way. So what were you doing?
That was one of the great breaks in my career, getting a job recutting a movie for Roger Corman. It was many years ago, but if you ever wanted to be an editor, that was a great place to learn to be one, because Roger was, he made a lot of movies, he made them quick, he had very little patience for anything that didn't work, and you just learned how to edit. It was a terrific experience for me. And you always, my feeling was, if you were game, you know, you could really make something out of working down there. So, and yes, and he's given lots of people big breaks and that kind of thing. And I got a break down there by being an editor. And I wound up working down there quite a bit.
So I want to talk more about the movie in a second. But I watch a lot of movies. I don't really know what an editor does. Can you kind of explain, you know, what your job is once you're in that editing room?
Yeah, well, you know, it's basically they shoot, people shoot a lot of stuff, and you have to, a lot of different takes of performances and stuff like that, and it all comes into the editing room, and it's like a big funnel, and you kind of have to weed it down and pick out the best performances and match performances from take to take, because maybe, you know, maybe an actor flubs a line midway through, and you know, you want to cut that out so that there's not a flub. And so then you have to go to something else and then cut back to it so it's smooth and that kind of thing. And then it works also on a bigger level, you know, when you get the whole, let's say, a movie put together, you know, does it work with all the scenes in the movie, or does it work better if you delete one or two scenes? Does it make it move faster and make connections happen better? Or even, you know, lose characters. Sometimes you lose a whole character out of a movie just to focus it more. So I guess to sum it all up, I would say it's really a process of focusing a movie. You keep editing and keep focusing and getting a clearer vision of what the movie will be.
There's that old cliche that the movie's made three times, you know, once when it's written, once when it's filmed, and once when it's edited.
Yeah.
When you're working with a director like Alexander Payne, are there multiple versions that you decide from, or is it kind of a like a linear process, you know, you don't like this one, but we'll do it this way? How does it work?
It's a constantly evolving process. I think that's one of the things, too, people don't really realize that about editing. It's not like you do it once. It would be more like if you're writing an article or writing an essay, if you're in college and you're writing a paper, you know, you go back and you rework paragraphs, and then you go back and you go, actually, I should move this sentence here. And, you know, you kind of just keep moving things around and trimming them and that kind of thing. So it's constantly evolving until you're really done, until there's no more time or no more money and you have to, you know, publish it. We have countless cuts, and we don't save all our cuts, but, you know, we use a computer system, an Avid, which is amazing. So we do save many different versions of the film, and we can always go back and reference them. In fact, we do that all the time. We'll cut a scene one way, and then we'll go, oh, when we screen that scene in that, you know, when we screen that movie for the audience in, you know, Sherman Oaks, California, remember how that scene played? And we'll go back and look at it, and we'll go, oh, you know what? That is good. We should go back to that version of the scene so we can just lift it off and put it back. So it's constantly evolving, but there's countless versions of the movie, but, you know, nobody cares about that. It's just the last one that counts.
So. Right. So how many times have you seen the scene of the naked guy running at the car in Sideways?
Oh, so many times. So many times. And that's so funny. There is a funny story about that. We test movies often for audiences, and we belabored so much over what was on the radio that Thomas Hayden Church was asleep to. And we, like, you know, went on and on. We had all these voices, and, you know, we had different conversations that we had recorded off the radio. And anyways, we finally decided to use this German guy talking about the auto industry in Germany. It was from, like, you know, some news report. And so we went to our first screening for an audience, and when it came up, when it happened, people were laughing so loud they never even heard the German guy on the radio in the car because they were laughing so hard. So I saw it quite a few times. Probably a couple hundred. Who knows? It was always a big laugh, and it was always fun to anticipate that it was coming when you know as an editor and as a filmmaker know it's going to come, and you get a great joy out of seeing the audience laugh at it.
Well, knowing I was going to talk to you, maybe that affected the way I watched your film, but I bring that scene up because I noticed an echo of sorts in the way that your movie begins in Crash Pad with your star kind of, you know, naked and exposed to the camera.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's true. I hadn't thought about that, but yeah. Yeah. We thought that was pretty funny. We thought
it's a great opening.
Yeah. Donald did such a terrific job at that. It's and both of them did, but yeah, he's so funny in that.
We're talking to Kevin Tent about the film Crash Pad, which will be screened on October 13th as part of the Woodstock Film Festival at the Woodstock Playhouse at 6:45. Let's talk about another of the echoes from Sideways, Thomas Hayden Church, who does such a great job in your film. He's so funny. How did you get him again, and why did you want to work with him?
Well, you know, it's funny. We knew each other from Sideways, but an editor knows an actor so much differently than an actor knows an editor. You know, we met a few times on Sideways, and he couldn't have been sweeter. He's a terrific guy. But anyways, he was nice enough to kind of do us a favor and join the movie because, obviously he loved the material, but, you know, because we knew each other and because of our past history, he was game to join us. And he does so many funny things in the movie, and he does so many ad-libs. Jeremy's script is so specifically written, but Thomas, even in Sideways, did so many funny ad-libs. And again, he did them for us, too, just funny throwaways that he does. And we were really lucky to get him. I'm really so happy, and I love the guy. He's really he's a total sweetheart.
And he has that very specific accent where you kind of want him to never stop talking, just to kind of hear the way
good.
He says words, you know?
That's good. That's good to hear.
The lead character, Stensland, is kind of a mess. Did you like him?
I love the character. That was one of the things when I first read the script. I just thought he was so neurotic and so funny, you know, a little bit of Woody Allen, but he's also a stoner. You know, he's just so... I was hoping, and you can tell me since you've seen the movie, but my goal was that he would be a character that was at first a little hard to grasp, but by the end of the movie that you would actually love him completely and that he's totally charming. That was always my goal that would come across.
I think, and hopefully I'm not spoiling things for anybody, but I think the scene at the end where he finds his place in the furniture store really helped to drive that home.
Yeah. I think so too. And the way he gets, well, we don't want to spoil it, yeah, but the way he gets Christina and Thomas back together again too, I think that's kind of his own way of doing that. So if that all works, that would make me so happy if people think that works.
So what's the process been like, making the film, having the finished product, now taking it to film festivals? What is your job as the director here to kind of steer this thing?
Well, I think my job now is to just keep pushing it and hope that people see it. You know, it's such a busy marketplace out there, and there's so many films, and you hope your film pops out and gets a little of attention. So it's also a time to kind of enjoy it. And that's what I've been doing too. You know, having these screenings at the festivals and stuff has been really fun, and I can't wait for Woodstock. That's going to be a great experience. But besides that, I guess just making trying to do anything I can do to get people to see it is what my job is now.
I have another editing question for you. Did you edit this film?
No, I worked with an editor. Whose name is Franco Ponte, who was actually one of my assistant editors years and years ago when I did a film up in Vancouver. And so he and I worked together on it. He had sort of grown up to being his own editor over the last few years since the last time we worked together. So it worked great. It was a great experience working with him.
We've mentioned your long working relationship with Alexander Payne. His movies are just so great. How did you get involved working with him, and what's that been like over the years?
It's been a true gift. He's such a good guy, and he's such a talented filmmaker. And, I'm just so lucky to work with him. And I interviewed for his very first feature film, and that's how I got the job. But we really clicked. He's from Omaha, Nebraska, and I'm from Buffalo, New York, and I kind of think both those, they're similar cities in a lot of ways, and I don't know, sort of both Midwestern cities in a lot of ways, and I don't know, we just connected, and he had always wanted to have an editor that wasn't like a granddaddy editor, someone with, enormous amounts of experience. He didn't want anyone to boss him around, I think, so he wanted somebody at his own level in a lot of ways, even though I had cut lots of things before I met him. But I go off and edit other things while he gets his next movie off ready, and then I come back, and I always feel like I'm a better editor by the time we hook up again.
Well, sometimes he gives you, a few years to get ready for the next one, right?
True. Yeah. There was a long time. Yeah, there was a couple spans of time that were pretty long between the Sideways and the Descendants. But, they were working on Downsizing then. They were writing that and trying to get that off the ground. And so that took some time to do that.
Now, are you looking to do more directing after this?
I think I would. I think I'd be totally into doing it. If I could find the right project and, make it all happen again, I would be game for sure.
What was the biggest thing that you wish you knew before you started shooting this film, now that it's over?
Gee, that's a good question. I think I would worry a little less about some specific things I kind of obsess with when we were shooting. You think, oh my God, this doesn't match, or, the sky, now it's raining. A few minutes ago it wasn't raining, now it's raining. What are we going to do, I would probably try to relax a little bit more about that stuff, because when I realize when it's all cut together, and you would think I would know this already, but when it's all cut together and it's going by quick, it doesn't really matter. You could cheat it and things go by.
So you'll be in Woodstock for the screening, and I understand that you have some family ties to the Hudson Valley region of New York.
We totally do. Yeah, my mom's side of the family had, many of them had settled in Roxbury, New York. So we try to go back there every time we're back east, and every time we're in the Catskills, for sure we go back then. We usually make a special trip to go through there. And yeah, my grandmother's house is still there, and I always think if I had extra money, I would love to go buy my grandmother's house back and just, you know, have it and go there whenever we could. Yeah, it's a very special place to me, and it's so beautiful there.
Well, you know, New York has a really good tax credit now for filmmakers, so maybe you could, you know, make your base. Yeah.
Yeah, shoot a movie in Roxbury. That'd be amazing.
Director Kevin Tent will be at the screening of his new film Crash Pad at the Woodstock Playhouse on October 13th at 6:45 p.m. It's part of the Woodstock Film Festival, and he'll be taking part in a Q&A afterwards. Kevin Tent, congrats on the film, and we're looking forward to having you in town. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ian. Thanks for having me. And I hope people enjoy the movie when they see it.
You've urinated in your shorts.
You pointed a gun in my face and I already had to go.
And you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.